Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, we welcome each person here and online as we worship together here at Harbor of Joy this morning. We also welcome Pastor Dan Winkiewicz to our pulpit again. We thank you for being here. Dan, we will look forward to your message and having you lead us through communion this morning. I do have some announcements. The first one is a fun one. We understand that Ron and Pat Knudsen are celebrating their 67th anniversary today. This week. Thank you. So anyway, we do celebrate with them. That's an exciting milestone. Much preparation is happening for Rally Day coming up on September 7th. We are grateful for Amy Johnson. She is working hard to make this day special, and we know many hands and feet are on the move to assist her. We thank you for everyone who is coming together to make this day a success. I will remind you that there are places we need more sign up for food, so please take a look at that sheet in the narthex. And Patty?
So this Wednesday is Rally Day, Wednesday evening. We need people at 4 o'clock to help set up with games. There's going to be lots of fun on the games. And then at 5, we need people to come help get some water tacos ready. And then it all begins at 5:30. We need people at the stations just to monitor. Hopefully lots of parents and kids will be here. And then we need some help to clean up and put away. So more hands, less work, right? So. There's sign-up sheets by the Yes Book, and then there's also sign-up sheets to help with the Joy Kids and Joy Us programs. It's mainly just so many of these kids don't have good role models at home, especially men. So male figures are wonderful. You don't have to be a disciplinarian. You just need to guide these kids. That's what we need, guiders. Joy Kids and Joy Us begins September 21st. So that's in a few weeks yet. So please pray about it.
Thanks, Patty. I will remind us that there is a need for us to pray for many people. We bring our caring to all of those who are listed in the bulletin, and we do add Dean and Cheryl Ramsey as they continue to be concerned about Dean's brother. I asked him this morning. He has been moved from hospice to skilled care, so he obviously has improved a bit, and we continue to think of them. We also ask for prayer for Dr. Steve Meyer and his wife Dana, and as well Pastor Tim and Sharon as they are away. I will mention that there is consideration for continuing the Bible study, The Chosen. It would cover the second season, and it would most likely begin the first or second Sunday evening in October. It would be helpful to know if there's enough interest to actually proceed with planning for that. So there is a sign-up sheet on Charlie's ledge outside her window, just to indicate if you are interested in doing that. And then if that's the case and we have enough interest, we'll follow up with more details. And then just some of the usual reminders about communion. At Harbor of Joy, all who believe in and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to receive communion. Also, if you wish to be served juice instead of wine, simply hold your hand out with your palm down in front of you, and the server will provide you with grape juice. As well, if you need to have a gluten-free wafer, do the same thing with your palm, and you will be providing that. Communion is served at two stations, at the rail and at the floor station. You are welcome to kneel or stand at the rail as long as you like. And when all is prepared, the ushers will guide you forward. If someone is unable to come forward, please let the server know, the usher know, rather, and the server will come to you. And then I always like to add an encouragement for those of us who are joining us online to prepare a bit of bread, juice, or wine at home and serve yourself as we are served here during communion. Is there anything else this morning?
Chapter 9 to 11. Therefore, exalt
We begin our communion service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we take a few moments of silent reflection and confession. Your time. scripture this morning is Genesis 37, 1 through 20. As we read this, remember the animosity between these brothers. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived in Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams."
Some of you don't even know me. I've been gone so long, but isn't it nice? You remember how it is, or some of you, when you go home at the holidays, go home to your parents' house when your parents were still on this earth, and it was nice because you got there and they had everything done just right. And I feel that way when I come here to Harbor, and I come in and I see people that I know. I know where the coffee is, I know where the bathroom is, and I know where things are supposed to go. Mostly, there are things I don't normally do, but we'll see how they go this morning. It is quite a family we just read about, isn't it? Jacob's family. Of course, it sits in the book of Genesis. And we, of course, can read about Abraham and his descendants, really basically starting in chapter 12. And God chooses Abraham and says, "You're the man. Get up here, take a 1,000-mile journey in a tent, leave your house behind." Now, for some of you are campers, you go ahead and do that. I'm not interested. I spent a lot of years in the mission field. I tell people I did my time camping. I'll sleep in a hotel. Thank you very much. Hot water's pretty nice. But he sent him off, and of course, he had one son in his old age by the correct wife, Isaac, so was also born by another woman, Hagar, and then Isaac, of course, had Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was a conniver, but he was the chosen one of God. That is, by the way, quite encouraging to some of us, and it should be encouraging to some of you. God doesn't always choose the perfect ones. And honestly, I know some of you, and I think, my word, it's amazing. I mean, you ever sin? I watch you, and then I talk to your husband or wife, and they assure me that it is so. But along come Jacob, he doesn't just have one extra wife, and you know his story. But he ends up with two wives and two concubines, and so he's got a lot of kids. But the one wife he loved more, Rebecca. And she gave him a son in his old age, and that was our man, Joseph. And so he loved him the most. So, you know, Jacob really wasn't that good of a father. He played favorites. And so today we're going to learn about Joseph. I'm going to talk you through his life and where it fits in the scripture. And then we're going to choose one chapter where everything comes to a culmination. I'm going to read through it and comment, and I want to see what we can learn about Joseph and then how do we apply it to our own lives. So let's pray before I start. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity and privilege to preach. And Lord, I thank you because you are a Savior who saves such as me. And Lord, I ask this morning that you will use me and your word so that one person here will hear one thing that will change their life. Lord, all the honor and glory for you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin the story of Joseph, and we know that Joseph then was sold into slavery. We read his story there in his beautiful coat of many colors, and the brothers threw him in a pit, and you know, they said, let's kill him. One of them said, no, you know, they have plans. There was a little bit of good in them. You know, the one brother wanted to save him, and I think it was Reuben, but by the time he got back, he was gone, and they had sold him, so now he's a slave. And he's sold to the Midianites, and he's taken off down into Egypt. And you can read about this all in chapters 37 to 50 in the book of Genesis. So there are 13 chapters there, or 13 chapters, yeah, that you can read about. And read the whole story. But when he arrives in Egypt, of course, you know that he ends up in the house of a guy by the name of Potiphar. And he immediately has a positive impact on that house. The house experiences a lot of blessing. Everything is going well. He is working there. But he's a fine, nice-looking young man. And Potiphar's wife begins to have designs for him. So she invites him to have, of course, an immoral relationship with her. And he leaves his coat behind. That'd be another type of sermon on Joseph. You could do his three coats. One his dad gave him, one he left behind, and one Pharaoh gave him, which we'll talk a little bit about today. Left it behind, he's thrown into prison. And then prison begins to get blessed because of Joseph's presence there. And he's there for a number of years, of course. And at the end of that time, he interprets some dreams for a cupbearer and a wine, the baker and the cupbearer. And one, he says, you know, I got good news for you. You're going to get your job back. And the other one said, well, not so good. You're going to get your head, you know, you're going to be hung. And that was true. And later, a little later on, of course, Pharaoh has a dream. He can't interpret it. They call in Joseph, and Joseph interprets the Pharaoh's dream. And it's amazing. Pharaoh says, wow, you're the man. I'm going to put you in charge. He's in charge. And he's got all the food, and pretty soon, who comes to town to visit but his brothers? And his brothers come into town, and Joseph, of course, finally reveals his identity. And surprisingly, he forgives them. And Oli brings all of the entire family to Egypt, and then later he dies. But when he dies, he says, now make sure when you leave this place, you take my bones. And when Moses left the land of Egypt, he takes Joseph's bones and buries them in Israel. Wow, quite a life, isn't it? I have no idea why I'm crying, so we just have to continue on. But in chapter 41, verses 37, there's an interesting, and here's the response of Pharaoh when Joseph reveals his dream. In 41, verse 37 and 38, it says, so the advice, maybe I should stop it, don't know the story. He interprets the dream and says, Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of bountiful harvest. And then there are going to be 7 years of famine. So you need to store up all the grain for 7 years so that we can survive the famine. Now, it's always been fascinating to me. I have a company, and we monitor stored grains. And we say that if, you know, I'm going to give you a little pitch. You ready? So I'll tell you about corn. If you put corn in a steel bin, and it's at 14% moisture and it's 70 degrees, it will not begin to deteriorate for 40 days. But if you can drop the temperature of that corn from 70 degrees to 40 degrees, and monitor it, that's what we do, you can store that grain up to 400 days. Now that sounds really cool, but I want to know how you store it for 1,000 days. Because that's 14 years. He kept it for 7, and then he handed it out for 7. Nobody's figured that out yet. To my knowledge, it must the Israelites have some grain stored under the earth. I don't know. But Pharaoh, when he hears this, he says to Joseph, verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? So Pharaoh recognizes this, figures it out, and right away says, okay, you're in charge. And we're going to see that. So now we're going to read a number of scriptures. And it looks like everything is going right for Joseph. First of all, we'll read verses 39 and 40. Pharaoh continues and he says, when Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Amazing. But he was supposed to rule over the house of Jacob, not the house of Pharaoh. He was supposed to rule in the land of promise, not in the land of sin, which Egypt usually represents in the, especially the Old Testament. So Joseph suddenly finds himself in the wrong house. In the wrong house. Got a lot of power, but he's in the wrong house. Let's continue to read in verse 41. It says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have sent you over the land of Egypt. It's the wrong land. He's supposed to rule over the land of promise. Remember Abraham, and God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and you will this promised land will be yours forever. That's where Joseph's supposed to be. But now he's in Egypt because of his brothers and their rotten hearts. So all is lost. Right there he is in the land. So he's in the wrong land. Let's read on. In verse 42, Pharaoh then took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Well, that sounds nice. But here's another one. He's got the wrong robe. His dad put a robe on him and said, you are the favored and blessed one. But his brothers sent him off. And so now he's in Egypt, and he's got the wrong robe. Of course, we've heard, of course, many times, a robe of many colors. Now, let's be honest, Jacob was really a terrible father. This may sound a little bit macabre to you, but I said, Jacob was a terrible father, but the Lord blessed him, so there's hope for me. And some of you guys, I don't know, some of you probably were bad dads. Nobody ever gets right. One day they come to you and tell you, you know, I did that with my father. Luckily, he lived long enough for us to become friends. And remember one day he looked at me and he said, Dan, hold your hand up. I did. He always had a lesson. And so I rolled my eyes and held it up. I was probably 30 at that point. I don't know. And he said, my grandmother told me something I'm going to tell you now. And that is, you're going to keep running until all your fingers grow to be the same length. And now it's my turn. And I say that, I have said it to my own kids. Verse 43, he says, and he had him lying in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he sent him over the whole land of Egypt, which is fine, but now he has the wrong followers. His dream said his brothers and his father and mother would bow down. Now he's got the wrong people bowing down. And in verse 44, Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one will lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So in a real sense, now he's got the wrong father. If Pharaoh gave him that much power, that was the place of the son. Second in the land, who gets that? There's the king, it's the prince. And so Joseph is now serving the wrong father. He was supposed to serve Joseph, not the pagan king of Egypt. In verse 41, 45, in the beginning, it says, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. Hardly any of you will remember what anybody preached last week, but the last time, two times I preached here, I preached out of the Old Testament, and there are a whole bunch of very long, complicated names for Becky to read. And so actually, when I put this in the sermon, I didn't have her read it. I smiled to myself. I thought, well, Becky escaped this time. Zaphnath-Paneah. That's a big name. And I, oh, my goodness. That was, well, we don't have any idea what that means. But it was a big name. What was his real name? Joseph. Jehovah increases. Names mean something. It's important. And then we go on in the same verse that Pharaoh gave him in marriage, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, another Potiphar, a priest of On. So Joseph went out to rule over the land of Egypt. Pretty good, huh? Except that now he's got the wrong wife. He's got a pagan wife. And worse than that, she's the daughter of a pagan priest. Now, somehow I think through the years, he must have introduced her to the Lord God, and you'll understand why when we get to the end. But he's going along, and now he's got, and in verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Well, what did he do? I'm going to read a few verses here for you. Starting in verse 47, during the seven plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Well, you remember that God told Abraham that his descendants would be like the sands of the sea, and now he's storing up grain like the sands of the sea for the wrong people in the wrong land for the wrong king. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end. And the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the land. Great job. Very successful. That's the wrong job. That's not what he was supposed to be doing. That wasn't God's plan A for him. And there he was, and you, some of you, maybe, I don't know, I've experienced it at times, you can be rich, successful, popular, and have the world's greatest job, and blah, 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 and you're not happy. Because you're not doing what God had a purpose for you to do. Now, I will sometimes tell people who I get to know pretty well, look, all I ever wanted to do was just be a missionary and preach. Some of you know my story. That's not for today. Now I go with Plan B, but Plan B is pretty good too, if you just let God take over and do it his way. And here I am, and it's interesting to see that God works through all of those things. Now, now he's got all the grain and all the power, and here his brothers come to visit. They come once, he tests them, they come again, at the end of the story. story of there. Of course, he has Benjamin, his youngest brother, and he says, no, you can all go back to the land of Egypt. He's going to stay here forever, and he's going to be my slave. A lot of irony there. And they go, and Judah steps forward. Judah becomes very important in the history of Jesus. Judah steps forward and said, take me. I'll be the substitute. I'll be the slave. I'll pay the ransom. Take me and let me go free. And Joseph, at that time, said to his brothers, they had no idea who he was. Think of this. Think of the person that you had really taken to the cleaners. And he says, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were terrified at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near. And they came near, and he said to them, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. I often think what David says, I have sinned most against God. And he says, no, I'm going to forgive yourselves. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me here before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. And then later, after his father dies, his brothers are still worried. And 50 verse 20, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. One great writer has said, when you're suffering, and you think of it as a big cup, and drink deeply, and remember that God's finger mixed it up for you. He knows what you need. Trust him. Okay, so that's the story. What do you think of that? I actually have a point. So I want to ask you a question. How in the world did Joseph keep a pure heart and not fall into bitterness and revenge? Now, you think of yourself for a minute. And if you can't do it right now, okay, I can go back to, 5th grade. And there was a guy that I won't name. And I was big for my age. And so he liked to bully me. Now he got hits in the end, and not from me, thankfully. But if I ran into him today, I still don't think I would like him. And I wonder what I would do. I was recently, a couple years ago, I was with a guy I graduated with from high school, and he said, you remember that guy we used to torment? And I actually thought, well, you did. I don't remember that I did. And he's kind of been successful in business now. And he says, you know, one day I was working on this big job. He said, man, I was going to make a ton of money. And he said, I was talking to we had a phone, you know, three-way phone call going. And the one guy on there, he said, oh, where are you from? And I mentioned it. And all of a sudden, he said, I looked down and I realized that was the name of the brother to the guy I used to make so miserable. And he said, just like that, he said, no, Jeff, I don't think we'll be doing any business with you. Goodbye. Click. Now, that's just fair. But Joseph has him in his hands. They sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. Everything was wrong. And they come to town. And he forgives. Well, I think you can figure that out. I think there's some clues in the name of his sons. All right? So, good old Joseph is now called Zaphnath Paneah. And he has sons. But he doesn't give them Egyptian names. He gives them Hebrew names, Manasseh and Ephraim. And why? Well, Pharaoh could change his name, but he couldn't change his son's name. And so I just want you to imagine this conversation here for a minute. And here he is, and he's walking, and someone, an Egyptian, shows up at his chair and says, hey, Zaphnath Paneah, how's it going? Well, pretty good. Wow, that's a beautiful wife you have. Heck of a job you've got. My word, power. Everybody bows down to you. You've got money, beautiful house here on the Nile. Now you've got this little baby. Woo, you are living the dream. What did you name that baby? Manasseh. That's a Hebrew name. Yeah. Well, what's it mean? I let that stuff go. That's what it means. I let that stuff go. Now, I recently studied this and recently came to understand this, and it hit me very hard. It's like, I love stuff. You might have a lot of stuff. The wrong house, the wrong land, the wrong robe, the wrong followers, the wrong father, the wrong name, the wrong wife, the wrong job. And Joseph let that stuff go. Now, I don't know what stuff you've got. I don't know if it's abuse or neglect or betrayal or loneliness or loss or insults or I don't know. It is amazing how much evil there is in the world. And the worst part is we should not be amazed at how... Why are we amazed? But in your case, and in my case, when we come to Christ, often I wake up in the middle of the night and tell you, Bob, I can't think of anything else, and all of a sudden the hymns start running through my head, and all of a sudden I'll think, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I mean, my parents harangued me and hammered me into church. I had no idea they were programming me for life. I don't know how I would survive today without it. You let that stuff go. Now, in case they had any doubts, when the second son came along, he named him Ephraim. And that, by the way, means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't know what Pharaoh thought of those names. I don't know, what did they call him? Uncle Pharaoh, it's good to see you. Well, hello there, whatever your name is. So his names, he let that stuff go. Secondly, Joseph saw God's providence in his own life and never forgot who he was or whose he was. He saw the providence of God when he saw his brothers and he was able to say Manasseh. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. And I challenge you, I challenge myself. Remember that in spite of whatever has happened and how painful or how dark or how awful and miserable it has been or how good it has been and how rich and successful and everything, God has a providential plan that he's weaving together in your life and working it out. I can accept that for me. It's harder when I think about my kids. I don't have any grandkids. So I suppose it's harder yet. I don't know. You watch them and you say, come on. Come on. You know, be a little bit smarter. Listen to me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You want a little bit of providence? Here's some providence. God sends Joseph as a slave into Egypt so that his brother Judah would repent and be saved and stand up as taking the place of his brother, so that Judah could have a direct descendant named David, who became the king of Israel, who had a direct descendant named Jesus, who also offered his life as a ransom for you and me. God had a plan. So finally, I will go back to that key statement, and that is, let that stuff go. Let that stuff go. Have you spent time in slavery? Now don't look at me and say, oh, come on, no. All of us have been slaves to sin of some way or another. Some of it's secret, some of it's out and out, you know. I always say it's enjoyable to meet a good old raucous, in-your-face sinner, rather than the very proud, pious churchgoer who won't admit it, because they're both sinners. We've all spent time in slavery. Maybe spent time in abuse. Many people have. Those scars run so deep they affect us all the days of our life. You spend time in suffering, and maybe you, like Joseph, are in the wrong house, in the wrong town, the wrong clothes, the wrong friends, and wrong parents, and your wrong kids, and the wrong name, and the wrong wife, and the wrong husband, and the wrong job. And so to you, I would say, like God said to Joseph, you just hang in there, Joseph, because this is easy. the presence of God, then it will all make sense. But until that time, I want to encourage you to let that stuff go. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you have a plan, and that you work through the pain and the abuse and the neglect and the sorrow, and all the wrongs that happened to Joseph can happen to us. And yet, Father, you are not confused, and you're not stopped. You continue to work. So work through it, Lord, and do mighty and wonderful things. And oh, Lord, help us to let that stuff go. We'll give you the honor for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to read the Apostles' Creed together. So if you'll read with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we're going to go into our time of the Lord's Supper. Now, I've already mentioned to a couple people that, remember, I hop from church to church, from one tradition to another, so this may be different than you're used to this morning, and you'll survive. So we're going to start out this way. When we talk about communion, we talk about coming to the table of the Lord, and He established, of course, when He was with His disciples, the night before He was crucified. And then later Paul writes of it in 1 Corinthians, and he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." When we enter into the time of communion, of course, we are talking about the... We come and we take the bread and we take the cup. When we do it, we remember which was done. But I also think it's a good time to let stuff go. Arguments start at home, carry on to church, or between one another, or things, slavery that we need to break away from. It's a good time to say, okay, today's the day. Sometimes making change is hard, but we sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Let us pray together as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art